The book of 1 Kings. We come today to 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Continuing the story of Solomon, and in this little section of scripture, we are going to see God's second appearance to King Solomon. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared unto him at Gibeon. And so God again appears to Solomon, this time in a dream. It was a vision at night, which would be a dream. Verse 3, and the Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So God tells Solomon that he heard the prayer that he prayed in the previous chapter. And God said, yes, I will do all that you have asked. Answered prayer is great. When God says, I'll do everything you have asked, that's great. But there's even joy in just knowing that God has heard our prayers. And so God heard Solomon. Plus he said, yes. 4. And if you will walk before me as David your father walked in the integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Solomon is doing a nice job so far, but he must continue to do good. He must continue to keep the commandments, or God will not bless. If we do our part, holiness, God will do his part, bless. If Solomon's kingdom is ruined, it will be because of his own moral failure. If people fail to be used by God and fail to make it to heaven, it is due to their own moral failure and the rejection of Christ. The principle is the same in every age. Verse 6, but if you shall at all turn from following me, you or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. In other words, God says, if you quit following me, and you start serving other gods, then this temple will not do you any good. The temple cannot save a disobedient people. 7. Then I will cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. So if they walk away from God, Israel will go from being the most honored people in the world to the most despised. Those who know the truth about God and his word and his son, Jesus Christ, and willfully reject it, can expect the most severe punishment. 8. And at this house, which is high, every one who passes by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why has the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? So what God is saying is this, he's warning that if the Jews go after other gods and forsake the worship of the true God and think that their temple will shield them from divine wrath, God warns it will not. And to prove his displeasure with his people, God will have that amazing building demolished right before their eyes. And that will make those who have any sense understand that God is not a God who will put up with willful, sinful rebellion. 9. And they shall answer because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore has the Lord brought upon them all this evil. So God has given Solomon and the people fair warning. If they walk away from true worship of the true God, and if they bring their idols or their idol-loving hearts to the temple and go through the motions of true worship, God will flatten that building and bring suffering on his people. 10. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. It says in verse 11, Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold according to all his desire. And then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. Actually, the original deal between Hiram and Solomon was for Solomon to give him, the king of Lebanon, food in exchange for building materials. But afterwards, Solomon gave Hiram this bonus of 20 cities. 12. And Hiram came out from Tyre to see the cities which Solomon had given him, and they pleased him not. The cities were located on a mountain ridge, and so Hiram couldn't grow the food that his country needed. Consequently, he was not happy with these cities. And I think Solomon, he was not trying to offend him, he was trying to be generous. Anyway, verse 13, and Hiram said, What cities are these which you have given me, my brother? And he called them the land of Kabul unto this day. Kabul means empty. They were just useless to the people of Lebanon. 14. And Hiram sent to the king 60 talents of gold. And this was the gold that Hiram provided for the temple. 15. And this is the reason of the forced labor which King Solomon conscripted to build the house of the Lord, and his own house, and Milo, and the wall of Jerusalem, and Hazor, and Megiddo, and Gezer. Solomon spared no expense in building all these things. He built the temple, he built his own palace, and several cities for their strategic importance and position. Verse 16, For Pharaoh king of Egypt had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites who dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. And Solomon built Gezer and Beth Horon, the lower. So one of those cities was originally given to Solomon and his Egyptian wife as a gift from the king of Egypt. So we see from this that those old enemies, Egypt and Israel, are now getting along in Solomon's time. Maybe getting along too well, actually. Because Solomon married an Egyptian. And that was a violation of the Word of God. You don't marry an unbeliever. So that's something that he should not have done. And something that will cause problems later on. 18. And Baalheth and Tamar in the wilderness of the land, and all the cities for storage that Solomon had, and cities for his chariots, and cities for his horsemen, and that which Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem, and in Lebanon, and all the land of his dominion. So Solomon built many cities, and he built many forts. He built places to store his chariots, and he built places to store his horses. And he did all this to protect Israel, of course. But we also know from the book of Ecclesiastes that he also had all these projects going in an attempt to find contentment. It didn't work. He kept building, and contentment kept eluding him. He was falling away from his relationship with God. That's the only thing that can give contentment. 20. And all the people who were left of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, who were not of the children of Israel, their children who were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel also were not able to utterly to destroy. Of those did Solomon conscript for forced labor, and so on to this day. But the children of Israel did Solomon make no slaves, but they were men of war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and rulers of his chariots, and his horsemen. And so, let's read verse 23 too. These were the leaders of the officers that were over Solomon's work, 550, who bore rule over the people who wrought in the work. So, in keeping with God's command not to make any Israelite work as a permanent slave, Solomon gave the Israelites higher positions. Because the Israelites were God's people, they were treated with more dignity. Christians should always treat each other with dignity. It's important to remember that when what we do to God's people and how we speak to God's people is what we are doing to Jesus and is what we are speaking to Jesus as well, because Jesus is in them. When you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, said Jesus. 24, but Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. So this wife of Solomon, one of many, was the daughter of the king of Egypt, and she did not stay with the other wives of Solomon. He built her own place. Verse 25. And three times in a year did Solomon offer burnt offerings and peace offerings upon the altar, which he built unto the Lord. And he burned incense upon the altar that was before the Lord, so he finished the house. Hebrew men were required by God to attend three important religious feasts each year. As leader, it was important for Solomon to lead by example when it came to worship. So, three times a year, Solomon offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And those three times of the year, no doubt, referred to the religious feast. Verse 26, and King Solomon made a navy of ships at Ezion Geber, which is besides Eloth, on the shore of the Red Sea in the land of Edom. And Hiram sent in the navy his servants, seamen, who had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Solomon. The Israelites did not know anything about the sea, and so Solomon's friend Hiram from Lebanon trained Israel's navy. 28. And they came to Ophir and fetched from there gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Solomon. So $300 worth of gold is what that refers to. And I think we'll pick it up in chapter 10, verse 1 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.